Hello.
Let me crank y'all up a little bit.
Okay, that's better. All right. How's everybody doing? Office hours time. And I love that it's light out, right? It's not dark while we're doing these calls anymore. So thanks. Yeah, I got it chopped off today, y'all. Got my spring cut. I love it. Love it, love it. So, all right, y'all raise your hand in the meantime while everybody's getting in here. Let's talk about, I talked about this on Sunday, but I want to remind you all, next Monday, so we've got, well, let's first off just kind of look at the calendar here real quick. So, got office hours tonight. We've got the Q&A tomorrow night with MJ. So if y'all have got kind of general questions about, you know, about stuff, about no BS, I'll try to get to some of those. But if I don't, just save those for the Q&A tomorrow night with MJ. So Kathy's taking some well-deserved time off this week. So so we're holding down the fort. For her this week. So, but tonight is all about coaching. So thank y'all. Y'all, I love this necklace. And actually I'm kind of, I got this in Italy. It's Venetian glass. I got it in Venice when I was there studying abroad a million years ago. And y'all know that Italy is basically shut down right now. So, just been thinking about all that lately. And then Sunday, Corinne is back for office hours. Let's see. On Sunday. So Sunday at noon. So that's Corinne will be back. I know she's been, hadn't seen her in a little while. She's been doing lives and stuff in Facebook, but she hadn't coached in a little while. So she'll be back. And then on Monday, I am going to be doing a special bonus Zoom on excuses and justifications. It's the excuses and justifications lab. And so if you all read your Massive Action Line newsletter, your work this week was to watch the no BS lesson, Why It's So Easy to Overeat. I'm going to be listening to it at least once before I do the call, probably several times. And then make a list of your 10 most common excuses that you use to overeat or to eat off plan. And then on Monday at 5 p.m., I will be on Zoom. I want y'all to bring me your excuses and justifications, and we're gonna model them. We're gonna talk about them, and we're gonna question them, and we're gonna just like take those excuses and just pull them apart and unravel them, or whatever you want to call it. I'm thinking about like a ball of yarn, since I'm a knitter, like, you know, just pulling it all apart, right? And really getting down to, okay, what's really going on here, right? So that's your homework for Monday, is to come to the call with all the excuses and justifications that you can. I'll probably bring some people on to coach. And then I'll be using the chat a lot too, just for you all to kind of post different excuses and justifications and things like that. And we'll model them. So, so we'll just kind of see how it goes, kind of play it by ear. But, yeah, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be really fun. So, all right. Let's see. We've got a few people here to coach. So let's get started with that. And y'all just go ahead and raise your hand. So I will be here to coach until 7 p.m. Central Time. All right, Azizi, you're up first. I think you said maybe in the chat that you need to get on here. So let's do this. Oh, the other thing while she's getting on here is be sure that your chat is set to all panelists and attendees. There she is.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to say thank you, because I'm pretty sure you're the coach who wrote back to me. about my Weight Watchers thing.
Of course, it was me. I'm sure it was me. I don't know for sure, but I'll just say.
Well, it was today, so hopefully it was you.
Okay.
I guess, so I wasn't going to get coached on this because I thought, like, no, I have it together. I know what to do. But I keep having this thought of wanting to go back to Weight Watchers. And the other day, I even signed up for the online. And then both of my accountability groups were like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? You're not going to really, like, teach yourself, you know? Like, you're not going to really learn if you're not really trying PNP. So I ended up canceling it. But my fear is that I'm going to have this issue come up again, like, as soon as I start gaining weight again or staying the same.
Yeah, you probably are.
Oh, okay.
And it's just an urge, right? It's just an urge.
Yeah.
It's an urge just like... It's just like an urge for food, just like an urge for, to, you know, get on Netflix or, you know, to get on Facebook or whatever it is. It's just an urge when things aren't, you know, new and shiny anymore. You have the urge to, you know, find something new, to find, you know, you think, oh, well, this is getting hard. This is getting kind of boring, or this is, you know, I haven't been perfect at it, or maybe I gained a couple of pounds. Excuse me. And so this must not be working. That's the thought. That's the first thought that comes in, is this must not be working. So I need to find something new. And so you get this urge to join something else or to look for something else. But it's a matter of recognizing all of that, being aware of all that, and just saying, yeah, of course I'm going to want to look for something else. That's totally normal. My brain is operating.
Yeah. Totally. Well, and I don't think it's that this isn't working. It's these are horrible thoughts, I'm just going to say. I usually will have this thought of, like, I don't want to say I'm stupid because I never say that, but, like, I'm stupid, I'm not getting it, or, like, this is going to take forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
And those are basically thoughts that kind of mean, like, this isn't working for me.
Oh, okay.
Right. I mean, they're all kind of all part of that thought, right? Where it's just, this is not the right program for me. I must not be getting it. I must not be doing it right. I must need to be smarter to do it, or whatever it is. Right. And those are just thoughts. Those are thoughts that aren't necessarily true, and that you want to question and say, no, maybe I just, you know, made a few more mistakes than I needed to lose weight this week. So right. I lots of opportunities to learn. Move forward.
And that's another thing. So the thought work portion, I feel so silly saying all of this because it just, basically I'm probably not doing the program like I'm supposed to be doing. But like the thought work, I feel like that's even hard for me. Like the unintentional model. Mm-hmm. Great. Could think of negative shit all day long. Oh, yeah. Sorry. But like wait, is that the unintentional, the negative one?
Well, it's not necessarily negative. It's just when you think about the word unintentional, it's the thought, it's the model that's not getting you the result you want.
Okay.
Right. That's the one. So you don't want to call it negative because there's really no such thing as a negative or a positive model. It's all about the result line, and is it getting you the result you want? That's kind of how you want to label those.
Because I feel like sometimes I have a hard time with the intentional model. Like, this isn't weight related, but I'll just put it out there for the whole world. So my dad recently got like a cancer diagnosis from an ulcer. Mm-hmm. So the unintentional, I'm like writing all these things. Intentional, I'm like, I don't know, like, what I would want to think about it. I mean, I guess I would want to think that he's fine and nothing's going to happen. But I just feel like I don't know how to model on stuff. And then, honestly, Betsy, I just, like, I'll give up. I'll be like, I'm just not going to model. I'll do everything else. I'll do the four basics, but I'm not going to model.
Okay, so let's do the model. And everybody's talking about your makeup in the chat.
I have my lip gloss right here if you guys want to see.
Oh, yeah. Tell them what you're using. They want to know.
Okay. One of them is Wet n Wild Megalast Liquid Catsuit in Nice to Fuchsia. And the other one is a Buxom Lip Gloss, and it's in Berry Bramble.
All right. Okay.
I love it. It's like wearing a new pair of shoes every day.
Yeah. You and Corinne are in the same boat with that. All right. So give me the model. So dad's cancer diagnosis, right?
Yeah.
Is that the circumstance? So what was the rest of your model?
I don't have my planner in front of me, but the thought was, I can't believe this.
Okay.
That was like the thought I had.
Mm-hmm. And then how does that feel?
Scary, kind of helpless,
mm-hmm.
Sad.
Okay. And then what was your action? What do you do when you feel scared, helpless, and sad?
Cry and scream. Well, really cry. I only screamed when he first told me.
Okay. Cry. And then the result is what?
Well, that I can't really support my dad.
Mm, okay. So,
I'm too busy crying.
Well, but the result always has to prove the thought true. So do you really not believe it?
It's not that I don't believe, I don't want to believe it.
Okay.
I don't want to believe about that diagnosis.
I don't want to believe it. Yeah. And then, but basically your result is that you kind of just continue to not want to believe it. And, you know, nothing really changes.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. This could be the intentional model.
Oh.
Because if you think about the words unintentional and intentional, right? Intentional
yeah.
just means that you are living a model on purpose. You're living a model intentionally, just consciously, okay. intentionally on purpose. So
okay.
if you want to continue to think, I don't want to believe this about your dad's cancer diagnosis right now, if you want to continue to feel scared, helpless, and sad,
yeah,
and want to cry about it sometimes, and
yeah.
just stay in this place right here, you could.
Okay.
Right? I mean, there's nothing to say that any model can be intentional or unintentional model or unintentional.
Okay.
It's just all about what do you want to think, feel, and do on purpose.
Okay.
To get the result that you want. And so you may, I mean, this is a really good example because you may just want to feel scared and helpless and sad right now. That may be
yeah.
appropriate for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a period of time or for a long time. I mean, there's no rules about it, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just a matter of just owning it. That's really what the unintentional model is. It's just, I'm just owning it. I'm just owning my thoughts and my feelings right now. I'm okay with crying sometimes.
Yeah.
And then I can move on to another intentional model if I want to sometime okay. in the future.
Yeah, I think it's hard because, no, it's probably not hard, but my perfectionist personality, which you can probably pick up on my very dramatic Ask Coaches novels that I write. So I guess I've always thought like unintentional has to be negative and intentional positive. And then you see people like posting these models and they're like, oh, it's so therapeutic and I feel so much better. And I'm like, what? Like how?
No.
How do you learn
no,
this?
I mean, it's really like any models can be unintentional or intentional. The intentional is just, okay, I want to feel this on purpose, but that can be therapeutic because you're not resisting this anymore.
Yeah.
Right? You're just owning it and saying, okay, I just want to feel scared right now. I want to feel scared.
Yeah.
You know, I want to cry and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Right. So it can really be
yeah.
good for you to just own where you are and just meet yourself where you are. and just do it on purpose and not try to move to an unrealistic model too quickly. Yeah. Right. Because a lot of times when we're looking at models and as coaches or when I'm working with my private clients, it's like, you know, it sounds good. It looks good, but is it really realistic for you? You know, are you ready to feel, you know, okay, or even anything more than this really about your dad's diagnosis yet? You may not be. And so you're just not ready to move to an intentional model that's any different than this right now. And that's okay.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and there's, you know, I like to call myself a recovering perfectionist, recovered perfectionist. And, I always like to tell people there's hope. I like to tell if you're doing, there's no way to do models wrong if you're just doing them. The only way to do models wrong is to not do them, is to avoid them, is to procrastinate on them, right? You want to do them. The only way that you're going to get better at them is to just continue to do them. And you see us when we're doing them on these calls, we're erasing things. They're not perfect. We're always just kind of learning and growing and figuring things out. So we're erasing and scratching things out, and that's okay too. So it's just all a lesson in awareness and figuring out, you know, really what you want to do on purpose.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Cause honestly, I was just losing it for a minute. So thanks for pulling me back in.
All right. Well, anytime. I'll talk to you later. Okay. Thanks. Bye. Got to get my notes here. All right, we got a good little line going now. Azizi, then, okay. We got Laura, Christy, Laura, L-A-R-A. I think you pronounce that Laura, and Sierra. So Laura with a U, you are up next. Okay.
Hello.
Hello. I'm going to ask you to start your video. There you are. Hi.
Yeah. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
What's going on?
Okay. So I find myself, you know, we talk a lot about don't beat yourself up, but I think I find myself going the other way, like giving myself too much of a break.
Okay. Tell me about that. Give me an example.
Well, like when they talk about, let me think. I'm trying to remember. I was kind of writing some notes, but, you know, basically just ignoring my plan and just being like, oh, well, I can do better tomorrow. Okay. And that's, you know, kind of the opposite of what I'm meaning to do, you know, I know I don't want to beat myself up, but I don't also want to just be like, well, they say it takes a while. You can pick it back up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's not good for me.
Yeah. So what are those excuses? Like, what are those justifications you're using? Just like you said,
I don't even know if I get to that part. I think I just dismiss it so quickly. Let's see. I can look at some, here, let me look at my, discovery sheets.
There you go. That's the power of data, right? You can go back.
Lots of those here. Got lots of those here.
Spring is here. I've got all this junk in my throat.
Sorry, I'm not. Okay. So, like, for example, one thing, too, like, on these discovery worksheets, the question, take a look at why you're over 8. Or no, is it this one? 3 things you're willing to do differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I say things.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the time I'm pretty much an 8 to 10, but you know, then I don't do them.
Why not? What in the moment? Why aren't things happening?
Okay. So today, I'll give an example today. I'd done pretty well in my plan. I'd had my lunch. That was going well. And then I was just like, I don't know. I just was like, I need something. I don't even really know why. Obviously, wouldn't really be a craving.
You just had an urge, right? You just had an urge.
Yeah, I guess. What? Yeah. So I was like, there's nothing in the house that I want, like chocolate, except for a few mini chocolate chips. So I had a spoonful of peanut butter with mini chocolate chips on it. And then I still wanted something else. So then I had a little, one of those little tiny single serve Jell-O things, like half of one of those. Didn't really fill me up, obviously. It wasn't really like what I, you know, wasn't what I was wanting, and it wasn't really going to do me any good, even if it was what I was wanting because it wasn't what I obviously needed. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, okay, so why did I just do that? Like what? But I didn't really come up with an answer.
Well, a good question. When you can't come up with an answer, it's like, okay, so then.
Like there's just this uncomfortable pit in my stomach and I don't know why.
Yeah, because you were probably thinking like, well, this is an urge and I didn't plan for this. So if I don't eat, how do you think you're going to, if you don't eat, how do you think you're going to feel?
Uncomfortable. Yes. So I ate and then I felt more uncomfortable in a different way.
Yeah. That's usually the way it works is the food doesn't really help. You know, the food, it takes that right. immediate discomfort away. Mm-hmm. But then longer term, it's more uncomfortable because you're not following your plan and you're not losing weight.
Right. I feel like I'm really susceptible to something that looks good on a TV commercial, mm-hmm. or just like that thought. Like yesterday morning, I had a cocoa on my plan for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And I was actually going to make a homemade cocoa, but then we didn't have any milk. So I went through Caribou, which I don't think they have Caribou's where you are, but it's basically like Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Caribou by me. So I went through there to get my cocoa. And I'm like, oh, that's right. They have those really good bagel breakfast sandwiches. I wasn't even hungry. Mm-hmm. So, but the thought came into my head. So then I bought it. And then,
so what you've got to practice is letting those thoughts come into your head. And those are urges. That's what we're talking about, urges. And I'm pulling up No BS because I want you to definitely go through, it's module 13, what to do with urges, cravings, temptations, and more.
And I have, but I mean, yeah. I need to do it again.
I want you to go through again with this specific stuff in mind, right? Because every time you listen to it,
yeah. you hear something different. Can you say which one it was again?
It was, I'm looking on the website right now, and it's part of phase three, overcoming overeating. Mm-hmm. And it is Module 13, what to do with urges, cravings, temptations, and more.
Module 13. Okay.
Yeah. Because they talked about, she defines what an urge is. And it's basically just a thought in your mind, just like you've been saying, right? Like, oh, that would be good. Oh yeah, they have that. That would be good. Right. It may just be as simple as that. Other times you may have an urge that you've been thinking about all day long, right? But sometimes it's just like you see a commercial I see a commercial on TV for pizza pretty much every time.
I feel like
time.
That's way more common for me than the like, thinking about
that. That looks really good. Long. I want that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in the afternoon I was working and there's like this M&M machine. So I went and put my quarter in and you know, some days I definitely do better than that. But then last night I'm driving home from my workout and I'm like, oh, a burger from Culver's sounds good. So I went to Culver's and got a small burger and a small fry, but still, obviously it was not on my plan. I could have put it on my plan for another day. But I just was like, you know, yeah, I thought about it. It sounded good. Mm-hmm. I put dinners that I like, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm like, Corinne, on one call I listened to, she was like, she said, some people you will put all your favorite foods on your plan. It doesn't matter. You could have pizza, whatever it is, but you're going to still want something different.
Yes.
And I think that's where I am. And I suppose that's
She would say, that's my toddler totally brain. Normal
because your brain just doesn't, your brain is resistant to following, you know, is resistant mm-hmm. to following the plan, right? No matter what. Like you said, it could have burgers for lunch and pizza for dinner and everything else in between, but you've got to train your brain to honor your plan. And that just takes practice. That takes practice of having an urge for the burger and saying, nope, it's not, didn't plan for that today. That was one of my biggest thoughts that I would just always say, didn't plan for that. You know, I can plan tomorrow if I want to, but didn't plan for that. It just was that short, sweet thought that I could just throw up anytime I got an urge. Didn't plan for that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's definitely, but that doesn't mean that, you know, there's not some discomfort with it, right? Where, you know, you're going to want the burger, but mm-hmm. what's more important is you following your plan and building that muscle, building that skill of honoring your plan that you made, your realistic plan.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then that comes back to your compelling reasons. Do you have a good list of compelling reasons on why you want to lose weight?
I believe I do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you, or do you believe you do?
I think I do. No, I mean, I have a pretty good list. I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the time when you want to remind yourself of why you're doing this, right? Why you're choosing this discomfort in the moment as opposed to just giving in to every urge.
I can tell you when I gave in to my peanut butter chocolate chip urge, I was holding one of my largest, most compelling reasons in my arms. And that is my 4-month-old grandchild. So I'm holding her and then I'm like setting her down to go to the kitchen and have this. I'm like, yeah, like I have to get past this, figure out how to tell myself that I have to wait.
Yeah.
Not something I've obviously been doing.
Yeah. It's just I'm also something that you're practiced at and it's okay. You just gotta practice it.
And I think I'm just, you know, I'm a little impatient because the first 25 like fell off.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're really overweight, the first 25 does fall off. You know, it just kind of does. It doesn't take a whole lot sometimes to make it happen in the beginning. Sometimes.
Corinne was talking the other day about practice. I was listening to something. I don't know what it is. I can't remember. But about practicing patience. Patience is one of the, she said, patience and something else were like, if anybody remembers in the chat, like patience and something else were the biggest, if you've got those two things, then you will lose, you know, you will lose the weight if you are practicing patience and, but patience was one of them. I know for sure. So being kind to yourself is what Sapphire says. So maybe that was it. It's probably, it was patience and then not judging yourself. Positive self-talk. There we go. Thank you. And if those, I mean, you've got the positive self-talk pretty, I mean, it doesn't sound like you have a lot of negative self-talk. So patience is the thing that you can really work on.
I do, but I seem to be able to get through the beginning of the urge to eating the food before I manage to come up with anything negative.
So just, I want you to go through that section of No BS with this, you know, with these specific examples in mind. And then really come up with, you know, with a plan in terms of, okay, this is what I'm going to practice when I have these urges. And this is what I'm going to say to myself. You know, these are my options. And this is how I know it's going to feel, right? I mean, as you practice, it's going to feel uncomfortable, right? And it's like, okay, I'm signing up for this discomfort because of all these compelling reasons that I have.
Like even right now sitting here, I'm like thinking about what I have planned for dinner, which is a very good dinner and going, well, you know, it's like I've already blown today.
Mm. Well, no, you had no, that's a thought. No,
I know it's a thought. I'm sitting here with the thought and I'm like, okay, it's not a good thought. It doesn't serve me well.
Right.
So because, I need to give it away.
A wide open door to eat, you know, anything and everything for the rest of the day. Right.
I've used that.
That's probably going to be a very common excuse for the call next Monday is, you know, well, I've already got to do a discovery worksheet. I've already messed up today. I might as well just keep going. Right. And that thought is just, you know, every bite matters, right? Every meal matters.
I can tell that because my weight loss has definitely slowed down. And I think like last week was the first week since October that I actually had like 0.6 up.
Yeah.
I hadn't had it up at all. So, I mean, I can tell that it is. And I know I was thinking about it. I did start weighing myself every day. And I think for me, that's actually been a good thing because I am just thinking of it. I found a way to finally just think of it as data. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, my data supports that. My data supports that. It's those extra bites every day and those extra this and that, you know.
Yeah. It's when you have the data in front of you, it's just, it really does take the emotion out of it. And it's just like, okay, this is what's going on here. Now I need to figure out how to change something up, right? I need to change, you know, figure out how to do something different. And if you can do that from a place of just neutrality and not from judgment, not from beating yourself up, then it's all about that. And, you know, it's a process problem, not a me problem. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just the process. Like there's something going on with the process that I need to work on. I'm giving into my urges too often, right? Mm-hmm. And so I need to really get to know my urges and then really practice allowing them and, you know, dismissing them and work on honoring my plan.
Yeah, I think I've never done a pre-urge. Wait, no.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. I want you to...
The pre-urge is the one to try that you're going to do to try to talk yourself out of it, kind of?
That's,
yeah. Talk yourself through it?
That's under the processing before an urge lesson. And let's just look at it real quick. I think this will be good for everybody to... So you do the date and time. Where are you? What are you wanting to eat? And a really powerful question is, am I avoiding doing or feeling something?
Well, most likely.
Yeah, usually so, right? Am I trying to create feelings like relief or connection? That's very common, right? It's like, you know, if you come home from work or and you're looking for relief, or if you're with your husband and he orders, you know, nachos and they aren't on your plan, you know, at dinner or whatever. The next question, is there anything else I can do right now that is easy and will keep me from eating?
Oh, okay. I really need to do those.
Yeah.
I have not done those ones.
The last one, if I choose to eat tomorrow morning, I will wish I had. So it really takes you to the future, right? And it's like, okay, how am I going to feel tomorrow morning if I choose to eat right now? I mean, they are some power. There's only four questions, technically, like four big questions there. And they are powerful.
All right.
Yeah. So I want you to definitely start filling that out with, you know, after you listen to all the lessons. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you got your marching orders. But you're doing great. You're recognizing what's going on, and this is just your next thing to work on.
Okay. So, I just feel like I'll do it. I'll do that. You know, I'll look at the phase 3 module 13 and I'll do all that stuff. I'll make a plan and then I'll just be like, yeah, no, tomorrow maybe.
Well,
you know, so.
But it's your choice. You're fully aware. You're aware of what's going on. You're aware of what you're probably going to say. And at some point you just have to choose to do something different. If you want a different result.
Yeah. Maybe the thing you said about maybe planning about what will it feel like. Okay, you know you're going to feel this, but you need to do it anyway, sort of type of thing. Yes. Okay.
I mean, you could go ahead and fill this pre-urge worksheet out right now just with an urge that you've already had, and or even an urge that you've given into, and just to really get to know, you know, what's already going on. You don't have to wait until you have an urge. Go ahead and fill one out now. And so that you can really be aware of, okay, the next time I have an urge, I'm going to be ready. And I want to fill this out again, but I'll already have some thoughts to practice. You know, I'll be on to myself, right? Because you're on to yourself now. You know what you're likely to do. And so,
I guess that's progress. I mean, I probably wouldn't have thought of, you know, you don't
absolutely
think progress. You feel like you just keep failing.
Yeah.
But then I guess the fact that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah,
she was.
Yeah.
And I did.
And that's just the thought, right? That I keep failing, because you could absolutely think, no, I'm learning, right? I'm making these mistakes and I'm learning from them and I'm making progress. I'm getting on a coaching call and getting help, right? We can mm-hmm. always think that we're making progress. That's always a thought that's available to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we just want to choose failing, because then that gets us in the spiral where we get to, you know, get to eat, right? Where we choose to eat,
mm-hmm.
basically. But if we can actually celebrate, Corinne was talking about this, I guess it was on the public live today, about celebrating, you know, we've got to celebrate everything, every win that we have, every little bitty win that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We need to like throw ourselves a party, because I mean, but we have to intentionally do it, right? It's not just mm-hmm. going to happen. And so
I do find
intentional.
Yeah. I do find I do well when I concentrate on one thing.
Yes.
Like this month I decided, okay, every day I'll do 10,000 steps.
Yes.
And there'll be a 20-minute walk in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So like the other night I was getting ready to go to bed and I stood next to my bed with the TV on and did 1500 steps next to my bed. I'm like, okay, well, I've only got 8,500. My husband's like, why don't you get on the treadmill? I'm like, cause I don't want to get on the treadmill. I can walk in place right here. It works.
And I've done it every day. When you focus on one thing, then you get to rack up all those wins and see your success and see your progress.
I think you get nervous though, because you're like, okay, I'm only focusing on this, you know, I'm focusing extra on this. What am I letting slide? So,
and that's, right. Well, but that's, again, that's a thought coming in like, well, if I'm mm-hmm. only focusing on one thing, this other stuff must be sliding. No, it's just, I am doing this weight loss thing right, in that I am just taking one thing at a time, you know, gradually adding mm-hmm. things in, and mm-hmm. this is what's going to work for me long term. You know, you can do that too. So, all right.
Okay. I have one quick question. Okay. Anytime I've been coached, I notice when you get off, you can't see any of the feed. And I've seen some people writing something during the call, uh-huh. like maybe I want to see what they said. Is there any way to not have that go away?
No, because when we close down the Zoom, you know, the chat goes away.
Okay. Because even when I'm watching the calls, I see all these people writing nice things to this person on there. And I'm like, they're not going to get to see it when they're done.
I know. I'm going to kind of make a note of that and see if there's some way that we can maybe change our settings or something. Because you're not the first person who's asked about that.
Yeah.
So okay. I will look into it.
Okay. Well, thank you. I really appreciate your time. Have a nice evening.
See ya.
Bye.
Okay, good call on urges. All right, Christy, you are up next.
Using an audio device, I am unmuted.
I'm going to ask you to start your video. There you are.
There you are.
Hi.
Hi, I feel like apologizing in advance.
Okay.
I have a brain and I'm medicated, so my focus is a little wonky.
Okay.
And it's actually one of the things I want to go over is I'm finding that I'm using food for comfort and for pain, especially when I'm running out of pain meds mm-hmm. and I'm on all I can have and on the shifting of the day. Because when I woke up, my best self had this lovely plan for me,
mm-hmm.
but then I got a migraine and well, the day's changed and I do have a separate migraine protocol.
Okay.
But it's so hard because I get nabbed by these all the time and it's even when I make small steps and try and go forward,
mm-hmm.
it's like the steps are still too big.
Mm, okay. Well, it sounds like maybe you need to make smaller steps or plan smaller steps. What is your protocol right now?
My migraine protocol is based on pain levels.
Okay.
So from 0 to 2, it's follow your normal daily plan.
Mm-hmm.
From 2 to 4, the food gets a little bit looser and it starts to include what I call my migraine foods because
mm-hmm.
it's a protein bar that doesn't smell, chicken strips that are easy to eat and they don't really smell, mm-hmm. and a really healthy chipotle without the beans or rice because I find too many carbs can lead to migraines.
Okay.
And but when I start getting 6 and 8s, then I put jelly beans on it because Jelly Belly jelly beans on it because they don't smell,
mm-hmm.
but they have flavor.
Okay.
And then from 8 to 10, it's just remember food and water exist.
Okay.
Because when the pain levels get that high and I'm out of meds, I will forget to eat entirely or drink, and that just makes it all worse.
Okay. So what part of that isn't working for you right now?
Well, like today, my husband bought me Chipotle for lunch because I feel like crap, but I'm having a hard time switching from my daily protocol to my migraine protocol.
Okay. How come?
So the Chipotle wasn't on my daily protocol. So I did do a thought model on it and get it to, no, I'm having a migraine. I am on meds. It is okay to go to the migraine protocol.
Yeah.
But I still find myself wanting to wear the shame shawl.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, so why, right? Why do you think that you shouldn't go to your protocol when you have a migraine? When you've made the protocol.
Because with me, sometimes there are so many migraines and migraine affected days that you hit so far that, you know, when you get 21 out of 28 days on a migraine affected day, it's really hard to make progress.
Now, what I hear, though, are usually most of your migraines, I mean, are you kind of in that middle part of the pain level, or?
Most of the time, I can take the meds, and I'll knock it down to a 4 to 6.
Okay. So it sounds like most of the time, I mean, it's 4 to 6. And I mean, are you following your hunger scale most of the time in that 4 to 6 range?
I am. That is what I am learning to do. I wish I knew how to flip this camera. Let's see if I can pretend here.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, you can't read that at all.
Okay.
Okay. That is my chart graph. Shit. What's the word?
Mm-hmm.
Habit tracker from September to February.
Okay.
Based out monthly. And I've broken it down so that the hunger scale, it was too big for me.
Okay.
So I broke it down into the -2 and then the +2.
Mm-hmm.
So on the -2, every month I'm seeing it going up until February, where it stayed the same as January. And for the first time ever in February, I had a number on the +2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's only... The negative side is only at 48% for February, and the plus side is only at 24%, but I got them.
Yeah. That's what I love to see. I love to see you all celebrating this stuff. Right?
I got them. I mean, and I literally on my February goal, it was just to do a 30 count. And I was so mind boggled about the +2 of it's okay. It's a guess. You can guess for the month of what you think you might be at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then for me, it doesn't count on my followed or not followed yet. My followed is just, did I eat on my plan?
Okay. Okay. So it sounds to me like all of this is just really like realistic and doable for you. Like you're really just gradually going with it. But I just think for you, it's a matter of being okay with moving to that migraine protocol when you need to. Like, it's there for you.
It's so hard because, you know, like, I can be a level 6 pain and then I'll go down to a level 2 to 4, but I can stay there for 2 fucking weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll turn around and it'll rebound. And that's when I get hit hard. And that's when it's hard.
But what I hear is that you're talking about, like, Chipotle and chicken strips and something else, right?
Power bars.
I mean, if you're eating those, I mean, if you're eating those pretty much to a +2, then you're probably still going to lose weight, right?
No.
Okay.
I have not lost anything since September.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet.
So what do you think is really the thing that needs to change to get the scale moving?
I have to figure out my +2.
Okay.
I did have 1 week last week where I went down and I had 3 days where I went strictly 2 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I scared myself because the weight actually went down and I panicked that, oh my God, which is stupid.
Why did you panic?
thinking, why did I panic? Because I actually saw the scale move down and I didn't know if I could sustain it. Yeah. I didn't know if I could continue to do it. I didn't know if it was real, if it was a fluke, if I was worth it.
Mm. That's some amazing awareness right there, right? Like that's what you got to work on is, you know, when you start working on your hunger scale, working on your plus two, and you start doing that more and more, you're going to see the scale go down and you're going to hear those thoughts come in again, those thoughts that create panic for you. And you're going to have to work on thinking something new. Do you think you're worth it? Do you think you can work on thinking that you're worth it?
I think I can practice working on it.
Yeah.
It's the ladder steps.
Mm-hmm.
I have That's to do the laddering.
Yes, absolutely. And it's, you know, you can always say I'm working on believing, right? But, you know, whatever it is that you want to think. But I think for you, it's a matter of really writing out that whole thing that happened with you gaining weight and what you thought about it. Or excuse me, you losing weight. Sorry. Losing weight. And I want you to write out everything, you know, that came out that you just said, right? And we've got, you could listen back.
I don't know if this is maintainable. I don't know if this can continue.
I don't know if I can do this. This is a fluke. Maybe this is just, you know, some random thing or whatever. Because those are the thoughts that are going to hose you, right? Because every time you start to do something and you start to get some success, you're going to go back up again because those thoughts are going to come in. And if you believe them and then you react to them, you're going to just start eating, right? And because it's, you know, for a lot of us, when this actually starts working, you know, when this program actually starts working, we're not used to seeing success. Right? We're not used to things working. And so that can almost be as scary as not losing weight. I mean, we're used to not losing weight, right? We're used to bouncing up and down or just the scale going up. But when the scale goes down, for a lot of us, that's something new. And that's, you know, and if we're really working on, you know, trusting the process, that's a lot of times that's when our doubt comes up because it's like, wait a minute, you know, you have like this little glimmer of hope, like maybe this could actually work. And like, it wasn't as hard as all these other diets I've done. And it's really hard for you to believe and to kind of put your hope and your trust into something, but you've got to do it anyway, right? You've got to be aware of the fear that's coming up. And then say, no, I'm going to keep trusting this process. It's worked for all these other women and it can work for me too. Yeah.
The other one is I think I'm forcing the steps too fast.
Mm.
So like get the -4 hunger scale to 48 and you get so, so good at it, but then adding the next step because you want it so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So not waiting long enough for it to solidify.
That goes back to patience, right? Practicing that patience. And I mean, and that's very common too, where it's just, you want to do every, you know, you want to do all the things at once because you want to lose weight faster. And just like I said before, you know, Corinne says that's one of the best skills that we can practice is just patience because, you know, we're not on a race here. We're not in a race. There's no deadline. It's not like the website's going to shut down, you know, at some date if we don't, you know, lose all of our weight, right? It's always going to be here. And if you're losing weight for the last time, it's okay for it to go a little bit slower. It's okay for you to take your time with it and really get good. Since you're going to be doing this the rest of your life anyway, you might as well just take your time and get really good at each little step. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. So I definitely want you to do some writing on your thoughts around the weight loss and then what you could think instead. And if you want to post that and ask coaches and we can work with you on it or just just definitely just work on kind of becoming aware of really the story that you were telling yourself about losing weight, and then the new story that you want to tell yourself.
Okay. I haven't got real good at the models or the journaling yet. That's okay. That was too much for me. So I literally I have half of a page of the daily thing.
Okay.
I just have the first side.
Yes. Yes. And that's enough.
We'll add in the second page when we get there.
There we go. It's anything that you're doing is enough for you right now. Right. And just don't ever think that you're behind or that you're not doing enough. It's just when you're ready, it will be there for you.
Yeah. I really liked in the orientation, the commitment one. I listened to that God almost at least once a week, if not more. And it reminds me to try and learn from each step, go through with the point of learning, not with just doing.
And that's how you build commitment, is that you really take the time with each step, and you make it, you know, really important, and you commit to it. And that's how it becomes a habit, right? That's how it becomes part of you, is when you're really not in that hurry to just check something off the list and move on, right? That's what real commitment is about, is really practicing patience with it.
Thank you, Betsy.
All right. Take care. See ya. Bye. All right, Miss Laura. All right.
Hello.
Hi. You got your hair cut a little bit too.
I did. Yep. Nice. I like yours.
Thanks.
Sorry, let me just, okay. I just wanted to make sure my dictation software was off for the patient notes. That would not be great. Okay. I'm struggling today a little bit. I got some family news, and I think what I'm struggling with is, I think as a single person and as someone who's been working on this stuff for about a year, I feel like I've made so much progress. And then when something happens, it's, you watch yourself just have the same reaction that you've always had. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, I'm sitting here now, and it's been a couple hours since I got a phone call, and everything's okay. Everyone's going to be okay. It's just a matter of wanting to fix everything for everyone. And I can't do that, you know? And I know that it's unrealistic to want that. And I'm sitting here with the unintentional model of just the feeling being guilt, and like that I haven't, that I've distanced myself from everyone else's everything for the last year or so, as I've tried to figure all this stuff out and work on doing better for myself. And I think those are really valid goals. And I'm just struggling with this feeling of guilt as though I haven't been there. And I know that the other people in my family are adults, but the person who's having some trouble is an older teenager. And so I know they have to figure things out on their own, and I know they're going to be okay in the long run, but it's someone that I was super close with when they were little. And I feel like through residency and through work and through all of this, I've abandoned them. And I had all these opportunities to reach out or make contact or be still part of their life, even if it's remotely. And now that you get news that you'd want to talk to them about and you can't because they're not allowed to be in contact. And I just am sitting here with a card that I'm allowed to send and paper and pictures of cats, thinking, what the fuck do you write to someone when you feel like, and I don't know that it's true, but like when you feel like your abandonment is part of the reason that they feel the way they feel potentially, but you can't know that because you can't talk to them.
But you can just decide right now whether that's true or not, right? Because it doesn't have anything to do with them. It's what you're thinking, right?
Yeah.
And you can decide. You can create any story you want, because all of that is in the past, right? How you talk to them, you know, whether you talk to them or not, all of that is part of the past now. And what's the story that you want to tell yourself about it? Right now you're saying, I abandoned them. Right?
Yeah.
And let's just say last year.
Okay.
Right? And all of the choices, I think this is important, like choices in the last year.
Right. And I mean, it's almost like an urge. It's like when you hear maybe don't do that. And I've heard the voice in my head say, like, maybe just send an Instagram message, if nothing else. You know, it's not even, it doesn't have to be some burdensome, you know, 2-hour conversation or something. But
you chose not to, right? You chose not to, not to reach out for some reason.
Yep.
And that's, again, that's all part of the past now. And again, you're telling the story that I abandoned them, but that's an optional story, right?
It is. Yeah, it is. I know that it is. Like, the logical brain part of me knows that it is.
But you're also thinking that if I had done something different, there would have been a different outcome. And that's also another thought.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think that, yeah, you're totally right. The second, I feel like there's a concurrent model running that is, I dealt with this. And so even if I couldn't fix it, I could have been there better. Like, I could have showed up better. I could have been more empathetic, whatever it is, you know, just.
Do you think that you could have affected the outcome?
I think I would feel better having tried now with hindsight, knowing that I had done anything, I guess.
But again, that's all, I mean, you know, it's all about you feeling better, right?
Yeah,
no, feel exactly. Better right now.
Yeah,
if you want
right,
it.
Right.
Yeah, because what is a different story that you could tell about your choices from the last year?
Well, I think, I mean, I was their nanny whenever they were really little. And so I spent a lot of time with them when they were really little. And so I think she always knows that I love her and that I'd always be there for her. And that, you know, today was when she was able to say who she wanted to know and she wanted me to know. And so I think she knows I'll always be there for her, I hope. Mm-hmm. And I know I guess I'm struggling with knowing that I will, but having not shown up with the action line of having done it for the past year.
But what does it really mean to show up for people, right? Does that mean that, does that even mean reaching out, right? Or that just mean like just being available to them?
It's not like I've gotten 100 texts and ignored them all or something.
Right. But even if you had,
right,
you could just decide that I'm here for her whenever she needs me.
Yeah. And I can be here for her now, which is what I really want to focus on, because I'm just trying to figure out what to say and what to, you know, but I don't want to obviously write a bunch of crap and have it be about my feelings and my
guilt. Well, that's the thing, if you really want to show up for her, you don't want to show up from this guilty place.
No.
Right?
No, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So how do you want it? Like, the thought was, I will always be there for her.
Right. Cause at the same time, like, I don't want to make it about, I get it. I was there. I know exactly what you're going through. Cause I think everybody's experience of things is totally different. And I don't ever want to minimize her experience by, you know, comparing it to mine or saying, look how much different things can be in, you know, 20 years or whatever. But just, I think I'm always here. Yeah. I'm always here if you need me, or I'll always love you. You know,
I just remember hearing, I don't know if it was someone who like had a lot of tragedy in their family or someone had just died in their family. And they said, you know, the best thing that someone could, you know, cause you always talk about, well, you don't know what to say, right? You don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, the best thing to say, the best thing to do is just say something. Like, there's no right or wrong way to say something, right? Well, really, the wrong way to say something is just to not say something.
Right.
That can be your choice too, right? But it's just like thinking about the right thing to say or the wrong thing to say or whatever. But it's just like, I'll be here for you. Or what can I do? What, you know, what do you need? And things like that. It's just sometimes like, you know, we overthink that so much.
Yeah.
And it's just like, just being there, just being available can be the best thing. So when you think, I will always be there for her, how does that feel?
it feels kind of fraudulent right now.
Okay.
And so maybe I need a ladder thought in the middle.
Okay.
Maybe just I'm showing up the best I can right now because there really are parameters around it. I can't go there. I can't call. I can't text. I can send paper. And so I'm going to, in this moment, choose to show up the best I possibly can.
And here's the other thing. You always showed up the best you could.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. I mean, there's definitely been a lot of times where I haven't felt like the world's greatest role model. And so I've held back because I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like I don't want to ever be something that she would be worrying about.
Well, but I mean, you've also been like working and going to school, right? And focusing on, you know, on your career and things like that, right? Those were your choices. And that's part of you showing up the best that you can.
Okay. So outside of just the relationship.
Yeah. Because again, I think, you know, if you think about the last year, because we're not just talking about, you know, your choices with her, but we're talking about the whole, all the choices.
Like life
in the last year.
Okay.
Right. It's like if you can tell any story you want about the last year and all the choices you made, all the priorities you set, you might as well think that I showed up the best I could.
Right.
And
or I'm learning to be the best example I can be, you know.
I'm just figuring this out.
Yeah.
Right. And even if you made, you know, even if you could go back and do something different, now you know, right? You just know and you're figuring it out. You're learning, you're making mistakes and learning, just like we do with weight loss and everything else. But so how does that feel? I'm showing up the best I can right now, and I always do.
That feels more believable, especially right now. That feels like what I can control. I mean, it helps put me back into a space of what, you know, of out of my whole spiral about, you know, and focusing on what she needs and.
I think right now
it feels lighter, maybe.
Yeah. It's like you've got the compassion for her. I hear the compassion for her that you have. You've got to have some compassion for yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're just beating yourself down right now.
I know. I think it's like everyone has their go-to vice whenever things are hitting the fan. And I mean, what other vice could there be in medicine besides fixing it, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I was going to come back to that, what you said at the beginning, where like how your mind just, and you think like, you know, you're just rolling along great. And then this, you know,
right.
thing, you know, this thing crashes into the windshield, right? The circumstance crashes into the windshield. Right.
Well, and
you're like, so in like your surprise, you know, we're always surprised that these old thoughts come back.
Yeah.
But it's like, wait a minute. You know, I like to think of it as it's just my brain, like snapping into, you know, action, just trying to protect me the best way it knows. Yeah.
And I mean, I know this is the next level work because it's like this, not this, but the same pattern happens every time I go home for Christmas or Easter or like anything, right? It's I'm doing so great in my PNP and my thought work and my, you know, it just with my work people and managing my life and my two cats. And then I deal with like, any interaction with my parents or whatever. And I'm just frazzled.
That's like the work, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
That's the work of, you know, we can do this thought work, you know, great when nothing is, you know, out of the ordinary, right?
Right. Let me do a model about the options in the cafeteria at work.
When that's your biggest,
right? Exactly.
Right. It's so interesting, right? But it's like next level because, you know, for some people, that's what they're still working on, right? But for you, it's like, okay.
Or that's what they're next level. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I think, you know, people who have kids and are dealing with all this stuff and are, you know, used to navigating family and relationships, it's a little more they're getting more
working on different things. Yeah, we're working on different things. We're all just working on figuring it all out. And this is just an amazing opportunity for you to just practice some compassion for yourself.
Right. Because I know she would never blame anything or want me to be upset about anything. I just want to show up the best I can for her, you know? And all right. That's a lot. I feel a lot better.
So what's the action here with compassion for you and her?
I think the best thing I can do at this point is just, I got a card that she's going to love, I know. And so just sit for a while and do a couple of maybe TDLs and pull out what I think doesn't sound too sanctimonious or too preachy or too highfalutin, and just find the things that are loving and true and funny and that I think will mean something to her.
Yeah. And it's, but I, you know, and I, but I think a part of this is just for you to feel.
No.
To feel it all. Right?
Betsy, I mastered feeling my feelings.
Clearly. Well, then this should be very easy for you.
We're enjoying.
Yeah. I mean, just, TDL and just let it out.
Okay.
Right?
So and you're then, saying don't go buy a box of wine. Yeah.
And then from that place, you know, where you're just allowing yourself to feel everything and just, I mean, from guilty to, you know, from guilty to compassion and everything in between. And then you'll be coming from that really, truly authentic place when you, when you do write to her.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. This was good. All right. Talk to you later. Take care. Okay. All right, Sierra. See, we got Sierra, Shayna, and Laura. Let's see how many I can get through.
You are. Okay. Okay, I'm trying to get here.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to start your video one more time. There you are. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a while.
What's going on?
Well, something happened to me yesterday, and I have not stopped thinking about it.
Okay.
And I don't know why it stuck in my head.
All right. Tell me everything.
So the story goes, so I'm just out in the world doing all the things, you know, planning, making realistic plans, following plans, doing my thing, leveling up, living my life. So yesterday at work, I go to warm up my lunch, and while it's warming up in there, in the microwave, I'm cutting strawberries, and a coworker comes, she goes, "Oh, you're eating really healthy." And like my first instinct was to be like, "Oh, no, 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 no. I'm just eating this because I had strawberries left in the house that I didn't want it to go bad." And that has stuck with me for like the past day and a half. And I don't know why it bothers me.
Okay. So let's just do this model. So coworker said, "You're eating healthy." So what did you think? And then you said, "No, hold on. You're eating healthy." I'm just, and I won't go, but you kind of made like an excuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you said that. So what was going on between here? What did you make it mean when she said you're eating healthy? What'd you make that mean? So what? So you're eating healthy.
Uh-huh.
So what?
Well, I guess it kind of like, if I think about it,
mm-hmm.
one, she's judging my food.
Mm-hmm.
I guess two, I don't want to be the fat girl that's trying to look healthy. And I don't want people to notice that.
Why not?
I don't want them to think that I'm losing weight or trying to lose weight.
Why not?
I guess because then if I don't lose weight, they won't be like, oh, well, she was eating healthy for no reason.
Mm. So what? They think whatever they want, right?
Mm.
I mean, I know I judge people's food. Do you judge people's food?
Yes.
Right? We create all these big stories in our head. Oh, they don't need to be eating that. No, that's bad for them, right? Or maybe if you see them eat, somebody eat healthy, oh, I wonder if they're trying to lose weight. Mm-hmm. But we never, you know, they can't see the thought bubble in our head, you know, above our head, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's judging everybody. So what?
I don't know. I was like listening to the other coaching, and what one thing that came to my mind is like maybe that I correlate me eating healthy to me stopping losing weight. So that when I finally get to that point where I would classify what I eat as healthy to lose weight, then I stop doing that and then I gain weight back.
So what's wrong with eating healthy? Is there something? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I guess every time I would look at my diet and say that it was healthy was when I was trying to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that I tried to lose weight, mm-hmm. I gained the weight back.
Okay. So how about this time's different, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to just keep reminding yourself that this time is different. And I know you don't have any evidence yet. Mm-hmm. But, or, you know, you may have some evidence that have you lost weight?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got some evidence. You're keeping it off. You're losing, you know, continuing to lose more. So you're already doing it differently, right?
Yes. And like, I instinctively and intellectually know I'm doing it differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that comment like triggered something in me because I'm just doing my plans. Like I'm just making realistic plans. And so in my mind, I'm not thinking I'm eating healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm just eating what I want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that label that someone else gave it, like kind of like was like, whoa, like what's going on here?
Like she had an opinion about your food and you like totally immediately threw out your opinion and took hers, you know, as your own when she just had an opinion. I mean, you could like ask her, you know, go into work tomorrow and ask her like, well, what did you mean by, you know, saying you're eating healthy today? And she'd probably be like, I don't even remember saying that. You know, I mean, she would think it wasn't a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so interesting that you've made it mean so much when she just has an opinion about your food, just like we all do, just like we all have opinions about everybody else's food. But we can choose to have it affect us or not, right? She just happened to verbalize it. But if you gave her a response, like a different response, What would you really want to tell her if I said, oh, you're eating healthy? If you were really honest, what would you tell her?
Maybe.
You just said it.
I'm just eating what I like.
I'm just eating what I want. I'm just eating what I like. I like strawberries.
I don't know. I guess that's like the weird part. It's like I have been like saying that mentally, mm-hmm. like it's, you're not eating healthy. You're eating what is realistic for you.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if I was like, but like, that was weird, right? So it's, I don't know.
I just think for you, it's just like, okay, she said something and like some of these old thoughts came back. right? About maybe I'm not going to do this, maybe. And it's like, that's okay, right? But I don't have to attach to those thoughts. I don't have to act on them or anything. I can just kind of be curious, like, oh, there's those old thoughts again. But I'm still going to just keep doing what I'm doing because it's working. Right?
Yeah.
And she's just someone who happened to verbalize her opinion, and she can have an opinion. She can think of it as healthy eating all day long. I think of it as what I like and what's working for me.
Okay.
But then also I think there's another part of it that I want you to kind of work on where it's, so, you know, there are people thinking or people, you know, suspecting that I'm trying to lose weight, you know, at work, right? And what do I make that mean about me if, you know, if I don't lose weight on, you know, some sort of timeline that they're expecting or whatever it is, right? I mean, it's just like, what do I make all these thought bubbles that are above other people's heads mean about me, right? Because you're getting up into other people's heads. Like they're having a big story about your weight loss. And I will never forget somebody told me when I was first losing my weight, they said, Betsy, it's really not all about you. Like people are not really thinking, you know, they're just not thinking about you as much as you think they are. Right? And I was like, I was like, oh, and then I just was like, oh yeah, you're probably right. Most people are thinking about themselves. Most people are like all about me. And yeah, they may have a few little judgments here and there, but then like, they're like back to me and focus on me. So it's just like, okay, you know, they may have a little thought here and there about me, but it's fleeting because again, most people are pretty self-centered.
I'll keep that in mind. No, I think I just probably need to do some more work on it. I think that is one of the things that like holds me back from a lot of different things in life, mm-hmm. is worrying about what someone's opinion will be about what I do or how I look or calling attention to myself. So
yeah,
I think that may be 75% of it.
Yeah, there's definitely like, you know, how we do one thing is how do we do everything, right? This is just, this came up in this case, but it's probably something that's prevalent in other areas. And you want to recognize that and say, okay, what am I going to make this mean? All these people, because some people will tell me outright what their opinions are, like this girl did. But other people, you know, maybe having opinions in their head and I'll never know what they are. But so what? What do I want to make all of that mean? And, you know, in terms of the choices that I make in my life. So that's something.
Sounds like homework.
Yes. Sounds like a TDL in the making.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Good to see you. All right. I'll talk to you later. Okay. Bye. All right. All right, we've got another Laura here, unless it's the same Laura. We got Laura, Carolyn, and Linda. I can definitely get all y'all before 7.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I just hit later instead of...
Okay. Let me do it again. All right.
There we go.
Hello.
Hi there. I'm going to just shut the door here so that it does. I'm at work still. So I am, raised my hand tonight because I'm really struggling with my 2+.
Okay.
I'm an April baby. So I've been working super hard on, all the other, basics. That wasn't coming out. I got them down. I'm good. I got all the other ones down. I've been planning every day since July. So I haven't missed a plan since July. I'm good with the sleep. I'm good with the water. I got it.
I'm just really struggling with honing in on my hunger scale. I don't need to get into too much of my past, but my father died in December. Very tragically, it was not, he was sick and we knew he was going to pass. So December and January were really, February, I started to pull myself kind of together, really trying to work on my thoughts better around it. And I've come really far. So, but what I've found, and, the first thing I found was that I didn't really know what my 2+ was. Mm-hmm. The second thing I found now that I didn't know what my 2+ was, and I was eating to like a 3+ or maybe even a 4 most of the time. So I've really honed in. So I got it. Mm-hmm. I know where my 2+ is, I think, most of the time. So I've been doing a lot of discovery worksheets, and I've come to a couple things. It's hard to explain, but when I have a really, really busy day, I'm a healthcare provider, so there will be days where I take care of lots of people, and I come home and I'm just tired and, you know, exhausted and all the things. I haven't had a minute in my mind, to really focus on myself. And so I get home and I just don't have good thoughts and I can't control them. So last night's a perfect example. I had one of those days and I came home, my husband had made dinner for us and the kids and dinner was ready for me when I walked through the door. Great. Lovely. I didn't even have to prepare it. I just got to sit down and eat. And I really didn't care about my hunger scale and I blew right by it. I didn't even care. And then I was like, well, I might as well have some cookies. And so I did that. And then I said, oh, maybe I'll have a couple more cookies. And then, you know, it was just total grab assing is what was happening. And I recognized it was happening and I just didn't care. Like I literally just said, I just don't give a shit. Right now, I just don't.
So what was really going on? Because we know it wasn't about the food.
That's right.
What was it really about? So let's get to what it was really about.
Well, that's the hard part. I don't know. I was hoping the discovery worksheet was going to help me. It did.
You said it was a bad day or a long day or a hard day.
With the whole COVID thing, work has become really kind of every minute something different. So there's just a lot of like breaking things that I'm trying to deal with. On top of, and I'm also administrator. So then I'm also dealing with personnel issues and I'm just like back and forth and all over the place. And so, which I like in the morning, I really organize myself. I have Michael Hyatt's planner and I, you know, very clearly walk myself through. I time block. So I'm really good at the time management. I really took the time management course whenever we did it last year to heart and was super, super helpful for me. So I feel like I do really good with my time management and I recognize. So one thing that I've come to after all of this is that I believe, I guess it's people pleasing because I let people pull me away from my schedule. And so I didn't really, I really didn't think it was, I didn't think it was people pleasing because it's part of my job, as a manager, as you know, so it's a little bit hard to wrap my head around I can't say no sometimes and I have to be pulled. Mm-hmm. And so it's just part of the nature of what I do.
If you're not being pulled then you're choosing, right? Always choosing. No,
that's right.
Yeah. So,
but then what happens, of course, is that choice at the end of the day leaves me super stressed out about what I didn't do. And so
your choices have different consequences, right? And so it's like you're feeling stressed because you're having a thought like, I wasn't able to get done everything I needed to get done today.
Right.
And, you know, but you could also just think, I wasn't able to get everything done today because I chose to do this.
Right.
And that could create a different feeling. So it's just all about kind of what you make the day mean? And I think what's happening is that, and I was actually looking at this, you know, I went through this urge worksheet with Laura, earlier, and it's the same. It's really what's happening. Like, are you avoiding doing or feeling something when you ate past yourself too? Right.
Yes,
what were you totally avoiding doing or feeling? It sounds like probably was feeling.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that, so in January, part of what made January really hard is just feeling the loss of my father was super hard. And so I couldn't do it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so I just avoided as best I could. I'm going to start crying again. I think I'm not doing it as much as I was, or I would like to think I'm not, but probably it's still part of the process as well. So, you know, when you're busy and you're taking care of others all the time, you don't think about yourself ever. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when you have overpowering emotions, you have to think about yourself. And so when you have these competing feelings happening, it's a little bit difficult. So by the time the end of the day comes, I feel like I haven't recognized my feelings. And so then I'm like, I don't have time to do it right now. And I don't really want to do it right now. And
yeah, you've been white knuckling through the entire day, right?
That's right.
You're desperate. And the next question is, am I trying to create feelings like relief and connection? You're craving that relief at the end of the day.
That's right.
That relief from this, you know, from this white knuckling of not allowing your, you know, your emotions, not taking time for yourself all day. And so it's, you know, it's a very common, you know, kind of equation that's happening.
Right.
And so what really, one of the best things that I've worked with a lot of my private clients on is really to make a date with yourself in terms of whether it's right before you leave the office, whether it's right when you get in the car, like in the, you know, in the parking lot before you turn the car on, or like when you get to the driveway of the house, but before you go inside, but just literally take five, just start with 2 minutes or 3 minutes of writing, of, you know, talking into, just to get your thoughts and feelings out from the day. And that you will, oh my gosh, it's amazing the difference that it makes when you are able to just, or even just as you're driving home, you can talk into your, you know, your voice memos or whatever on your phone, just to get that emotion out, to get those thoughts out of the day on, you know, just out into the, into the universe. And then when you get home, you're not desperately, that's what can provide relief for you. And then when you get home, you're not still desperately seeking that relief.
Right.
You know, and you're not just going straight to the food.
Right.
Yeah. But it's a matter of, I mean, you know, it's the work is, you know, feeling your emotions, you know, writing down your thoughts and processing your thoughts and all of that kind of stuff. And it sounds like I think about the beach ball, you know, we talk about like pushing the beach ball down under the water is like keeping your emotions down, keeping all your thoughts down. And when you do that, you know, eventually the ball's going to pop up.
Right.
Higher than if you just, you know, kind of let it float on the water. And so that's really what it kind of sounds like. And, you know, with everything that's going on in healthcare right now, you know, there's some stuff to kind of process and to write about and to feel right now.
Right. Oh yeah. No, it's and so, it, yeah, that is true.
And so even just a 5 minute, grab a, you know, a sheet of paper and just get out what's been going on. So what comes up for you when I say, you know, write about it or talk about it?
So prior to my father passing, I actually recognized that I needed to do this. Mm-hmm. And then I had such a hard time sticking to it. Mm-hmm. But as I have looked at it, I was of course trying to do too much at once, which is always my problem. Very so it's common. Like, oh, I need 15 minutes, right? Yeah. Well, I can't jump from 0 to 50. I'm realizing that now as I'm looking back, like, why didn't it work last time? Because I did
try this or thought about, well, maybe I need like this little timeout for myself. Like I need to put myself in timeout.
Yes, I love that. That's a great word for it, right? Just, I mean, like, but not because you're punishing yourself, right?
No, I just need time out. Like I do. I really need a timeout. Like I need to not deal with other people for a while, you know? And ideally, I think I need 15 minutes or more. I mean, ideally.
Well, ideally, but it is amazing the power that 5 minutes or 2 minutes. I mean, because, you know, you can make your 24-hour plan in about two to three minutes, right?
Yes, you
think about how powerful that is, right?
Oh, it's been huge. I mean, like,
five minutes, set a timer and see what you can really accomplish in 5 minutes. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Focus
on, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And so you don't want that perfectionism, that all or nothing kind of coming in thinking, oh, I can't do this right now. I need more time.
That's right. And I think that's kind of what happened. And then I'm like always running out the door, like, oh, I got to go get the kids or I have to get home quickly. And then I'm like, phew.
But you really sit in your car for 5 minutes and write or talk, right? You could.
Right. Oh yeah, no, your kids I could. I didn't think about talking into my memos. Yeah. I think that's a great idea. I didn't think about doing that.
Yeah.
I could do that while I was driving.
Or even while you're driving, Marco Polo, you can actually set up I learned this the other day, you can set up a channel with yourself on Marco Polo and talk to yourself.
Oh, you can?
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm so doing that. That is great. Because that, you know, I think part of the interesting part about Marco Polo is that if you go back and listen to your own polos, to your accountability group, you learn so much just based on your facial expression that you didn't see before because it's your own face. And so I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, you know, you would learn a lot if you could just see yourself.
Right. So yeah, if that works, then do that. And if anybody knows the exact instructions, there was like a little, there was a little thing that I had to figure out, but I think if you just play with it, you can figure it out and just do a channel with
like
just
a button
yourself.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just do a channel with just yourself and and then you'll have it all documented there. Right. So you can listen and stuff. And, but it's amazing what you can get out and what you can process through, you know, I think orally sometimes it can definitely be more powerful than even writing. You know, it's all beneficial. It's all good. And you know, and again, no one else ever has to hear it, but you're just able to kind of get it out.
I have been writing first thing in the morning before I go to work, and that so I'm just doing a minute, like seriously, just a minute. But it's better than not at all because that's what was happening before. So as I've been getting closer to this 2+, I've been realizing that I gotta do work on this part of it. Mm-hmm. And really this is why I'm overeating, I think. And I used to say I'm just a stress eater and that's just the way it is. And I don't think I'm a stress eater really, but well, maybe I am, but that doesn't matter. That's kind of beside the point.
But
part of it is because I'm not processing my feelings. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I got to figure out how to do this in a way that's sustainable because what all the ways I used to do it before just are too time consuming and it's not working and I don't have time during the day So,
but that's, again, that's a fault, right? I mean, and
it's all about that,
you know, that time management course is,
yes,
you know,
is,
I don't have time is just another thought that, and I mean, and also with the ways that you're choosing to spend your time now at work are all choices, right? And so,
yes,
you know, really being aware of, okay, I can't be a victim to my own choices, right?
Yeah, no, I can't.
And so, that, you know, that just keeps you in a spiral. So just, you know, really thinking about how you spend your time all the time. It's all a choice. You're not, you know, you're always in total control of how you spend your time. And so, and also just like the thought that I can always do more, you know, do more than I think I can in 5 minutes or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
5 minutes is better than no minutes. So.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, this was good.
Okay. Really thank good. You.
All right. Take care.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. All right, Miss Carolyn.
Hi. Hi, Betsy. Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I like your haircut.
Thank you. Cute. Thank you. What's going on?
I ended up in a unique situation today where I had an overeat. I am trying not to judge it, struggling with that. Mm-hmm. And I ended up trying, I took myself out of the situation. I removed myself from the kitchen. I took my dog on a walk and I listened to one of Corinne's podcasts about, basically it was one of her thought managements and the, I think it's called the diaper bucket episode.
Okay.
And she talked about a lot of times we eat in response to avoid a conversation we don't want to have. Mm-hmm. But like how do you do it
with ourselves or somebody else?
Somebody else.
Okay.
So, but how do you have that conversation with somebody else if you feel out of place?
What do you mean you feel out of place?
So I ate in response to something at work today. Well, I chose to eat in response to something at work today. Somebody questioned my integrity and my brain nearly exploded. So I don't know if you know this. I am an engineer. I work in automotive safety. I design seatbelts and airbags.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you
for the work that you do.
Thank you. It's making me a little crazy, but I was fighting today to classify something as a fail and everybody else was fighting to round the data.
Okay.
I'm like, I don't want to round the data. I want to give the customer the opportunity to see all the data and then take the liability and choose for themselves if they want to accept the data.
Okay.
That was the camp I was sitting in. And I was in a very alone camp on that one. Then somebody questioned my integrity. They go, well, because I asked another independent team, I asked our validation team, like, well, what do you think? Should we be rounding? And they go, no, you don't round. You do not round in this industry. I'm like, okay, I'm on the same page. I'm in the same boat. And my director then goes, well, did you give them all the information or did you go in there, not give it all of them to sway them towards your camp?
Mm.
And my brain, my toddler brain just took the wheel and drove. It just spun out. So I didn't eat at work. I kept trying to redirect it back to work. Do the work. And then I drove home and it just spun out while I was driving. And I came home and I ate in response to it.
Okay. So, but why are you thinking that why are you feeling out of place about having the conversation?
So I've been having a lot of issues with my director. I think everybody but you's coached me on it so far, except for Corinne. So this has been a recurring issue in my life. He is, my thought is he is a difficult man. Okay. He is an unreasonable man, stuff like that. And he doesn't support me and he is fickle. So I know a lot of thoughts. I've done countless models. I'm already done my discovery sheet. I've already done 3 models and 2 TDLs on it after the fact. Okay. But I think that after listening to that podcast, because I won't have the conversation with him, but I feel out of place because I've only been doing this 6 years. He's been doing this 22.
Okay. So I just want to point out that out of place is a feeling.
Oh, that's interesting.
That comes from your thought of he's been doing this longer than me.
Yeah.
And basically what you make that mean about you is that I'm not experienced enough to have this conversation with him or something like that. Right. I mean, he must know better if he's been doing this longer than me and, you know, I shouldn't have this conversation with him because he's been doing it longer. So that's the model I see. And so you don't have the conversation and you eat instead. And then,
I gain weight. I don't meet my goal. I'm super close to being at the halfway to Century Club. I'm like 48.8 pounds down. And I really was hoping to meet it this week. And I don't think we're going to get there. So that might be the result.
What do you make this mean about you? He's been doing this longer than I have. So what? I mean, he's been doing it 22 years. You've been doing it how long?
Six. I think I struggle with it because he has been blocking promotions for me. Sorry, my phone had a message. He's been blocking promotions from me because he claims I'm not experienced enough. He always, like, I'll say something even if we've discussed it previously, and then he'll contradict himself. So it's funny in the situation with the rounding, he supported me last week when we talked about it. He's like, yeah, that's bullshit. They shouldn't be rounding. And then all of a sudden he flipped camps. Mm-hmm. So I'm struggling with that because I think my thought is I can't predict what he's going to say, or I don't feel like he's consistently saying the same thing.
Because, yeah, I mean, but so the conversation isn't about having the conversation. Like, why do you want to have the conversation? What do you want the result to be from the conversation?
That's my problem. All my results are from him, not me.
Yeah. There, you've got him in your result line all over the place.
Yes.
Right. And so you've got to have a good enough reason, you know, to have this conversation when it doesn't matter what his response is. Because, you know, you can't control that.
And I mean, I think my result would be is I want to make the best product we can and make sure that we're putting out quality products.
Do you need to have that conversation to do that?
Potentially. Right now, I've been going around him and I have been asking my boss to address it with him. So there's a manager in between us,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. I don't like doing it that way. It's funny that he doesn't contradict my manager, but he contradicts me.
Can you make the best products possible no matter what he says in that conversation?
I can. I worry about the risk of litigation if anything was to go wrong with my product. And I have these reservations right now.
Mm-hmm.
So being in the safety industry, if something goes wrong and somebody gets hurt, our company can be sued. I can be called to court. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff can happen. Like all of my reports can be hauled into court.
So your result is really like, I do my job the best way I can.
Yeah.
But again, does this conversation need to happen for you to do the best job that you can?
I think no, but I also don't know how to find peace at work and actually control my toddler brain.
So you find peace at work through your thoughts?
Yes.
Right? Then nobody has to change. Nothing has to change. Other than your toddler brain. When I say toddler brain, it's like you're always going to have a toddler brain, right? Those thoughts are always going to be there. You know that, right?
Yes.
They're always going to pop up, right?
I just, like, I even have a sticky note on my desk that my accountability partner helped me make. And it says, this is how he is. This, we can't change that. This is classic, classic director.
Yeah.
All of this stuff. And I was looking at it today and I wanted to shred it. I was so upset. I'm like, this is bullshit. It's not working.
So, I mean, that may be a thought that's not, you know, super helpful, or it may just be like, that may have just been your toddler brain wanting to, you know, to throw a fit, right? But again, you know, we're kind of jumping around models here, but yeah. It's just like you find peace not by getting it, you know, not by changing the circumstance, right? Not by changing your boss, not by your boss saying something new. You find peace through your thoughts. Always. That's why you don't need to change jobs to, you know, when people want to change a job, right? And it's like, no, you don't have to change jobs to love your job.
And that's another thought I've been fighting is I've been considering changing. I'm like, no, this is my thoughts. I had to figure out how to deal with it. It could happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been very unhappy with him for a very long time. And I'm fighting with the toddler brain probably on a daily basis.
You've been unhappy with him because of the thoughts that you're having.
Yes.
The thoughts create the unhappiness, not him. Your face.
Sorry. I know you're right, but I also want to say he shouldn't be a sexist piece of ass.
Right.
At the same time. That's Tom.
That does not go in the C line, right?
I understand that.
Does not go in the C line. So, yeah.
So it's just like, when do you call them on their sexist bullshit? Like, I think that's my biggest question. As I was listening to the podcast going, okay, maybe I need to have this conversation because I just keep eating in response to it. This is day two of this happening.
I mean, you can have the conversation if you want to, but But again, it's all up in the sea line. Yeah. And you get to think whatever you want about it. You know, you could make up a conversation in your head that you have with, you know, that you have with him, right? I mean, you could just invent one. And yes. And then decide, oh, that was a great conversation. You know, I'm going to just keep doing my job and he's going to keep being him. And, you know, you could just do your model that way, right? You don't have to have the conversation to, like, because again, you're still looking to change the sea, change the circumstance to feel better. Right.
Yeah.
And so really depending on that, you know, on that C to change is a losing battle, because, you know, it's just like, he's probably going to act, you know, like he's always acted. Most of us don't change very much.
Yes. Except people at PNP.
Most of us are pretty consistent. Yeah. So yeah, it's just like, okay, well, if it's totally up to me, then let me just create any story I want around how I want to think about my job and my boss and all that. Let me just create like a fairy tale if I want to. Right? And seriously though, it's like, I might as well create a story that, I mean, you could create even a whole backstory with him if you want to. Like, he must act this way because he grew up with a mother who didn't, you know, whatever, you know, it's just like, have fun with it. Why not? Right. Because if it's going to help you be, you know, happier at work, you might as well just think all kinds of thoughts about him. Like, he just must be really, he just must have, you know, just had a hard childhood or something like that.
It's a very interesting way. I will try, Betsy. I will try.
Or he must have been like bullied in high school or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But that, it just, I'm trying to explain like the power of your thoughts, right?
Yeah.
That you can create any story you want and you can feel, and that can, you know, that's what can create the peace for you is, but I mean, you know, you can also just think, you know what, I'm doing the best I can to create the best products that we can and to avoid litigation and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm just going to do the best I can every day.
Yeah.
All I can do. So.
All right. Well, thank you, Betsy. As always, you're super helpful. I can't wait to see you in April.
I know. All right. I'm looking forward to it. All right.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Carolyn. Okay, Emma, I've got time for you. Hey.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, ignore that in the back.
Okay.
All of that. I'm like, so, okay, come on. I like, there we go.
There we go. Yeah, you were a little blurry
at first. Okay. Sorry. My camera focuses on its own sometimes.
Okay. So.
Yeah, Carolyn is my accountability partner, so she's amazing, isn't she?
Yeah.
So, I wanted to bring this to ask coaches, but then Carolyn was like, oh, I'm getting coached right now. I'm like, well, I want to get coached. So
yes.
I've only ever been coached by Corinne. So this is my first time with you. So I'm
like, you look familiar. I was like, have I coached you? I've seen you be coached by Corinne then.
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
Yeah. I also got coached at camp back in October. So
okay.
That was an eye-opening experience. Yeah, I want to get coached on anger.
Okay. Let's just go ahead and put that in the F line.
That is a big feeling, like anger, rage. But it's like, it's anger fueled by uncertainty and fear. So it's got like that underlying kind of stuff. Okay. So it's like,
so we got all kinds of feelings.
One. It's if we had to give it
fear and then go to anger and rage. Okay.
Yeah. Or overwhelm does it for me too. So,
okay, so
yeah, it's
okay. What's going on here? What's the,
so I'll just give like an example. I was traveling, about 2 weeks ago, and we ran into some complications with our tickets, me and my boyfriend. We were traveling, and I remember getting into, like, I gotta solve it mode and being extremely scared and overwhelmed because I'm like, I'm out of my element first. I have to, like, I'm in a different country and I'm working with them to, like, there's a language barrier. We're trying to solve this problem. And I just remember instantly thinking, my boyfriend isn't helping. He's not helping and this is his problem. And I was like, that's not good, but we gotta fix this. So I didn't manage my mind around it and I completely, like, just snapped at him. And sometimes I'm not aware of it and I'm not aware of, like, what I'm thinking or what I think initially for it to happen. So sometimes it's just, this is a habit that I've learned from when I was a child. A lot of how my, like, father would communicate with me or raise me was yelling. So it's very much something that is very instinctual. I just do it. It's like, I remember a call not too long ago that Corinne had on anger, and I was like, that's her, like, her special skill. I'm like, I feel that.
Because Corinne has worked on her anger a lot, too.
And I don't know how to describe it when people ask me, they're like, how can you just get angry and just, like, snap at the people that, like, you love? And I'm like, it's not that I'm angry at the people. I'm angry at the circumstance and that I feel like I have to fix it. That's another thought.
Yeah.
There we go. There's another good one.
I have to fix it. And then,
or
I heard,
I'm all alone in this.
Okay.
This is unfair.
Yeah.
Or, the one that, like, my boyfriend does, like, I'll get mad at him if, like, this sounds so silly, but if he, like, leaves a cup out or something and I've, like, asked him, like, hey, just clean it up when you're done, regardless of the trash behind me, like, I'll be like, can you just clean that up? And be like, yeah, sure, I'll do it in a little bit. An hour will go by and the cup will still be there, and I'm like, it'll just set me off. I'll just, like, you said you're gonna clean it up. I'm like, why'd you do that? Because I, like, think he doesn't respect me, he doesn't care about what I care about.
Yeah,
that's,
he doesn't. He doesn't.
Because he only cares about what he cares about.
Right. And you care about what you care about.
No, I'm like the manual couldn't be
bigger. Yes. I was about to say, you know about the manual, right?
I do. I had to let go of the one from my dad, but it's harder for me to let go of the one from my boyfriend because, like, I almost put him as, like, my partner in life. Like, I chose him. I chose him as he is. He's in my life, and I love him very much. But I just feel, like, so much shame after I do it. And just, like, I have the thought afterwards, because I judge it after I do it.
Right.
Obviously, that comes in right after it happens. And I'm like, whew, I'm just like, wow, I'm becoming my father. And that just, like, hits me, and I get so upset. So.
And so this is, I mean, you know, like snapping is, I mean, it's no different than overeating or, you know, anything else, right? And it's like,
oh yeah, because
it's the same thing with, you know, same thing with, you know, when the judgment comes in afterwards, for sure. So but go back to, like, you chose him and all of that, and it's just like, so what? I mean, you chose him, but you still have, are going to have different priorities, different things that are important to you.
Oh yeah, of course. And I say that because, like, it helps give me perspective on, like, he is his own person in our relationship. And that's why, like, I love him. So it helps me be like, oh, sorry. Something just popped up. I'm so sorry. But, like, it helps me, like, give it perspective on, like, I should have, like, it brings me back towards empathy for it. It brings you back into that space instead of being like,
so that's more of, like, an intentional thought for you.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I really have to get back there because I'm like, he should just be what I want him to be.
Right. Well, and, like, he should, you know, we know about the shoulds, right? He should.
Oh, yeah.
He should want to put his, you know, put his dishes away. But then you go into, well, if he doesn't, then I have to fix it.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and that's where that comes in. And then like, and then I'm all alone in this.
Yeah. So yeah. When he doesn't do it, then those come. And so then the anger's like, oh, we're here again. And so I work on, right now I'm working on, if I want it done, then I should do it. Like if I want something done, then why shouldn't I just do it?
Yeah.
I know that's a should, and I know that's kind of like a thing that I'm making myself do, but I really think like I'm trying to believe that now.
I think that's a should that's okay.
Okay. You know, okay. Because like, I was like, wait a minute, that's a should, and I don't know if that's all right.
I mean, I think you could word it as, you know, if I want it done, I'll just do it.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds more empowering for sure. Yeah. Not as like an order to myself.
Yes.
Yeah, but I really think I need some guidance on the ones where I'm not aware. Mm-hmm. How can I like build that awareness around them? Mm-hmm. Are there any like tactics I can use? It sounds like I'm like going to war in my mind.
So like, I think, well, let's just finish out this model. So
yeah,
like,
sure.
Boyfriend, let's just kind of, we'll just put boyfriend
complications with tickets. I would say that would be a great C line. It's kind of neutral.
Okay. But just to kind of get down to the result line is that, you know, if you're snapping at your boyfriend, then you're probably kind of isolating yourself, alienating yourself from him, right? I mean, that's not going to bring you closer together when you're snapping at him.
No.
So the result is that, you know, you're staying alone, right? I mean, you're more, even more alone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you just still think that you have to fix everything, right? And so it's just kind of nothing changes is the result of this model, where it's just, you know, it's just a perpetual kind of cycle that happens over and over again. And so what I think for you is where it's really interesting to kind of like divide up the lines of the model. You said like, you know, how can I recognize it? Right. Like, you're going to recognize it at different levels. Sometimes you're just going to feel like super alone. Like you will have gone through this whole model and then you won't even realize it. Right. And then you'll just feel like super alone and kind of isolated, and you'll be like, okay, what's going on here? And so you start at the bottom of the model and then you work up and say, okay, what happened? You know, why am I feeling alone? Right. What did I do? Did I, you know, yell at my boyfriend? Did I isolate myself in some way? You know, what was I feeling? What was I thinking? Right. You kind of work up the model. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you will just find yourself snapping at your boyfriend. You know, that will be the first way that you'll recognize it.
Yeah.
Right. Like you want, you know, the thought and the feeling will happen just in a split second, and you'll be snapping or yelling at him. And sometimes that's when you realize, oh, I'm doing this model again.
Mm-hmm.
Other times, you will, and so this is called kind of pausing the model, where it's like sometimes you will just feel all of these feelings and you'll get to the anger and the rage and you'll be like, oh, wait a minute, here I am in the middle of this model again. I wonder what I'm thinking, right? And you can pause the model at any place. Like the model doesn't have to go all the way to the result line always.
Okay.
Sometimes you will be able to stop at the thought line.
Yeah. Right?
Where you're just like, oh, I'm thinking I need to fix this again. I'm thinking that I'm all alone in this, that he should do things. Here's my manual coming out, right? Sometimes you recognize it at the beginning. And so it's a process of just always kind of just being aware that this model is something that is common for you. It's a pattern, and that you sometimes will catch it at the thought line, at the feeling line, at the action line, at the result line. And you can always pause. You can say, oh, here I go thinking I have to fix it. I don't, you know, I can just stop here and say, oh, okay, this is interesting. I'm thinking I have to fix it. What do I want to think instead right now before you even get to the anger?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're going to get to the anger and the rage, and you're going to say, okay, I just need to feel the anger And this is the really good work, right? Of like feeling the anger.
Oh, that's hard.
I have like such an urge to, because I've done this with my husband many a time, right?
I kind of want to let him know.
I really got to let him know what the truth is here. You know, I've got to prove him wrong, right? And yeah. I have, you know, that's such an urge that can be even sometimes be more powerful than a food urge sometimes, where it's like, oh, I want to say something, but, and so you allow yourself to feel the anger, but you don't move to the action line.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then other times you've you know, yelled at him, but you've decided that, you know, you're going to stop there and say, okay, I don't have to move into the judgment and all of that, because that's part of this too.
Yeah, I would say that's almost like a separate model that runs along this one.
Yes.
So it's like, if this, then that.
Like, yes. And that's the other thing is that, you know, the judgment never has to come along for the ride. I actually just recently got coached on this when we were at our team retreat, where I think that I have to judge myself before I can move on to, you know, I think I have to beat myself up about all this stuff before I can move on to another, you know, to another model. And it's like, that is an option, optional, you know, that's optional. We never have to beat ourselves up, you know, before the fact or after the fact.
Yeah.
I can always just be like, okay, I ran this model again and I recognize that, and it's okay because I'm working on it. I'm figuring it out.
Yeah, I think I need a better intentional model for like when judgment happens, because it definitely doesn't help me want to like revisit this and work on it when I'm like constantly like thinking I'm going to be like my dad or like and feeling shameful, because it doesn't help me work on it. It just helps me avoid it. So
this is kind of, you know, advanced modeling thing. But basically what that model is, and this is kind of what I want your homework to be.
Okay.
Is that basically your whole circumstance is this whole model now, right?
Like, okay. Yeah.
You know, you do this, right? And so that all becomes your circumstance. And what do you want to make that mean? Right now you're making it mean I'm becoming my father.
Yeah.
Right. Or, you know, something like that. And then that leads to judgment. So how do you want to feel about, you know, sometimes going through this model?
See, I want to feel I don't know. I know that's not the answer, but I think about it a lot, and it's almost like I want to be able to like forgive myself for doing it. I want to feel forgiveness, and then I want to then go into curiosity about like, why did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what thought but would again, trigger that.
You know why it happened, right? You don't want to kind of stuck in confusion about like, why do I keep doing this, right? It's like, no, you just have this model that's been running over and over again for years, right? That's why it happens. You're working on it, but that doesn't mean that it won't ever happen again. No. And that's okay. And so it's that, you said forgiveness, right? I want you to do some journaling about like, what would the thought line be if forgiveness was in the feeling line?
Yeah. And I think I struggle with that because I do have this perception that forgiveness comes from other people. But in this case, I think I need to forgive myself for like doing it. And because I'm the one who's beating myself up.
Right. It's all you.
Obviously people can tell me, hey, I didn't like this. And I can be like, I'm sorry.
Right. Right.
But like,
forgiveness is really, what's really interesting. There's a podcast from the Life Coach School on forgiveness.
And I listened to that one.
Yes. Like forgiveness really doesn't have to do anything to do with the other person.
Mm-mm.
Right. I mean, even if it has to do with forgiving another person,
mm-hmm.
forgiveness is all for you.
Because, yeah, it's a gift to give yourself. Yeah.
Yes, because when you forgive someone, they don't automatically feel the blanket of forgiveness over them. You know, it's like, that's no, it doesn't have anything to do with the other person. It's all you. And so, and that's good news, because that means you can forgive anybody and they don't ever have to say, oh, thank you for forgiving me or whatever. Right. They don't ever have to,
yeah,
to do anything, but you can just do it for you and no one else. And so, yeah. So, but in this case, it's about forgiving yourself.
Okay.
And you do that through your thoughts, right? You do that through like, okay, this, I do this sometimes and that's okay. And I'm working on it. And, you know, that may mean that it doesn't all, you know, go away forever, or, you know, it doesn't never happen, but I, you know, I can apologize and I can keep working on it and all that kind of stuff. Right. I mean, mm-hmm. The same way I'm talking, you know, we're talking about this, we could be talking about binging. We could be talking about overeating. We could talk about, you know, any kind of you know, reactionary thing.
Yeah.
And, exactly. But you've got to be in a place of acceptance of just where you are right now, that, okay, this is why I do this and it's okay. And I'm working on it.
Okay.
It's that compassionate forgiveness kind of voice. So, but yeah, I really want you to work on that intentional model.
Okay.
Post in and ask coaches if you want some more help or get back, mm-hmm. you know, get on a call or something.
Yeah, totally.
Really kind of fill it out to where you can really have something that you can practice.
Yeah. I'll start practicing. I know Carolyn will hold me to it.
Yes.
So.
Yes. All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay. This is a good one. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. All right, y'all. This worked out perfectly. Trying to see if there's anything. In the chat. Okay, good. I'm glad y'all got a lot out of the chat. And Laura said that if she's looking for volunteers to bring their 10 reasons, will you come on to that call? The justifications and excuses. I'm trying to combine the two words. Come on to that call on Monday. I can't wait. It's just going to be really, really a good call. And so y'all just come ready with your list and we'll go from there. So, all right, y'all. So MJ's got the Q&A tomorrow night. So y'all give her all your questions then. And then Corinne's got coaching on Sunday. And then I'll be on the excuses and justifications call on Monday. So y'all have a great rest of the week. I'll talk to you later. And this call will be up sometime tomorrow, the brief play. All right. See ya. Bye.